Oh my goodness, Jean Valjean. A gentleman named Victor Hugo wrote this incredible book, Les Misérables, capturing this picture of the brokenness of mankind and the power of redemption so beautifully. But he also captures later in that film or in the book, in the story, picture of the religious spirit in a portrayal of a man named Javert. Javert is an inspector who is relentlessly pursuing that Jean Valjean be held to the letter of the law. He's fighting against this grace that we've just seen from the priest, or you could say from the father. Today we're talking about why we don't judge, what to do instead, why we struggle with this, and how to recognize wrongs, and also what God will do to take care of the unfair things in our life. Let's pray. Father, you alone are good, and you alone are judge. We ask you to free us today with your love and this truth, in Jesus' name. So James 2, 12 through 13, we're in a series right now about victory in our warfare. One of the things that we're fighting against in life is this religious spirit. Some of us are feeling that as an internal voice, judging ourselves. Some of us are feeling that more predominantly in judging others. And today we're going to learn how to have victory over judgment. So, James 2, 12 through 13, in the English Standard Version, if you could read this with me. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If you ever see in a book or hear in a sermon a verse being used that says, so, dot, 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 or therefore, dot, 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 it's good to look at the verse before it, all right? So I wanted this to be our focus, but really this introduction is the fact that in James 2, 10 through 11, so right before he says so speak and so act, right before that, James, Jesus' brother, says, for whoever keeps the whole law, but fails in just one point, has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Whew, that's heavy stuff. So on your page here, the introduction is, we condemn ourselves when we judge others. We condemn ourselves when we judge others. How do I know that? Well, I'll read you Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, Nick, Joe, Sally, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. So imagine most states, it's allowed to perform what's called a citizen's arrest. My wife was in Target a while ago in Morgantown, and two young ladies had been filmed stealing things. The manager of Target knew her authority to contain these individuals until the police came. It's within her right. This is very careful. We have to be very careful about this, right? She recognized something that had happened. The manager literally went like this and said, you can't leave the store. We've seen you stealing. And the girls said, oh, we didn't do it. And she said, I've got you on tape. And literally kind of physically began to contain them. My wife and children were like, whoa, this is scary. You can lock them in the office of Target until the police come. You're allowed to do that. Here's what we're not allowed to do. Someone breaks into your home and you contain them until the police come, right? We then take the person down into our basement, and we lock them up. And we throw away the key and we are both judge and jury. Joe did this to me and I'm mad at him. You're going to hell, Joe. That is the spirit behind which we feel towards them. Now, if someone finds Joe in my basement 5 years from now, guess who's going to jail? Doesn't matter what Joe did. I'm in big trouble. You can't be judged. You can't hold other people, right? So there's this radical black and white God who says there are two kinds of people, perfect and everyone else. Now, in religiosity, we tend to categorize everything else into good, bad, worst. It's not how he thinks. So first of all, the reason we don't want to do this is we don't want to put Joe into the basement and lock him up because we condemn ourselves when we judge others. So point number one on your page here, going back to our theme verse, James 2, 12 through 13, is free others and be free. This is what to do instead. It's okay, Nick, you're telling me that I'm not allowed to judge people. I'm not really happy about point number zero, but whatever. Point number one, free others and be free. James 2, 12 through 13, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. The Greek word for liberty right there is this beautiful word, and it is the word eulitheria. It comes from the Greek word eulitheros, which means freeborn, someone who is not a slave. God wants us to act freeborn, someone who's not a slave, who is free, who is exempt. These are all words described in that Greek word. Free, exempt, unrestrained, not bound by obligation. And in an ethical sense, free from the yoke of Mosaic law. See, Christ wants this radical group of people who my father calls followers of Christ. The word Christian has been so muddied and puked on by people who are acting in the religious spirit. I don't even want to be called that anymore. My coworkers go, oh my God, you're a Christian? No. But I love Jesus. Right? So Christ wants us to be those that would be judged under the law of liberty. So this father in this priest in this video frees Jean Valjean. This radical act of grace. You could even say he lied. We'll touch back on that later. Yeah, brains are going, wait a minute, God could lie, this is not right. Oh, are you judge? So free others and be free. It's hard to do. So when we don't do that, because that's not really natural to us, to be like the priest in that story. So point number two is, we will be bound when we bind up others. This is why we struggle with this, you guys. Some of you, let's look at the word of God, James 2, 13a. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Here's the thing. Imagine if the spotlight I'm in right now is this zone where I'm acting under the law of liberty. Christ has come, taken all of my sins on his back, and he's freed me, and I am now under the law of liberty instead of this law of death, the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law, if I make one mistake, I've made all mistakes. Heavy-handed, I'm done, I'm through. Thank you, Jesus, you've freed us from that. And now I'm standing under these bright lights, the sunshine of the law of liberty. Guess who hates your guts and is so stinking mad that you're just sitting here in the sun, you filthy sinner, forgiven by God, you ugly, horrible person, your enemy, the devil. So he's going to entice you with a trick that works 9,999 times out of 10,000. He entices you out of this light with a fence. Remember Joe in my basement? I can't believe that guy broke into my house. The nerve! He even knew who I was in this community, how many people I give my life to, and Okay. You can either live under the law of liberty, or you can live under the law that gives death. You can't use this law for everyone else and stand over here for yourself. Oh, I feel so good. No, not allowed. So all I need to do, if I hate your guts and want to mess you up and take you out of that light, because when you're in this light, the way you look to your spouse is really amazing. The way you look to your coworkers is really amazing. The way you look to your children is really amazing. The number of lives around you that start changing. I hate your guts. I'm stealing you out of there with offense. I can't believe the pastor said that to me. So now I have tricked you into standing over here in the law that gives death. You don't ever do it at first for yourself. It's always someone else. It's always someone else that we're standing over here going, I can't believe they did that to me because of offense. Offense is a powerful enticement. Now, here's the problem. You're walking around over here, supposedly a follower of Christ, supposedly living life in the law of liberty, and you're wondering, why do I have all these horrible, condemning thoughts about myself? God, Nick, I hate your guts. Why'd you say that to that lady at work? You're such an idiot. Do you ever get things right? You got a speeding ticket 3 weeks ago in Maryland. What is wrong with you? Stupid. All of a sudden, you're under this heavy hand regarding yourself and everyone else. Because you've left the light, the law of liberty, that you are a freeborn, literally redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ poured out for you. I want back. So guess what? I have to forgive. Oh, Nick, not a sermon about that. I have to forgive. I have to get out of this law that gives death and come back to the law of liberty. I have to be like the priest to say, wait, you didn't take the candlesticks, you silly guy? Inspector's like, wait, what? Jesus has this horrible verse in the Bible where he says, pray for those who spitefully use you. I love like 82% of everything Jesus says, and 18% of it is the worst. Just cut and paste. No. So we are bound when we bind up others. This enticement against us is powerful. My best friend in all of the world, a man that I've known since I was the precious age of 19 years old. I had hair all right here. Best friend. Would die for him. Love him. Him and I had a disagreement. I tried to correct him, didn't work out. We parted ways. For a year and a half, almost 2 years, I didn't speak once. One day, I'm on my way home from North Carolina with my father-in-law. Great things to me when I'm in the car with my father-in-law. I get delivered of all kinds of things. If he ever asks you to drive somewhere with him, just say, yes, I'll drive, I'll pay for the gas, whatever you need. We're on our way back from North Carolina, he puts on this music that's meant to create an atmosphere of forgiveness. And he goes, just pray and see who the Lord brings to your heart when I turn this on. He presses play. No! Oh, my. I start weeping. He's like, what is this kid doing? You know, he didn't think it would work that fast. You know, and I'm like, oh, I have to forgive. All right, I'd been standing over here in judgment of my best friend who did something legitimately wrong, in my opinion. Who knows what God thinks? And I was holding him to the law, and we're not speaking anymore. And I forgave him of that. And I came back over here into the law of liberty, and you know what happened less than 24 hours later? I get a text from him apologizing. Reconciling. What? I was bound in these shackles. He had zero desire to reach out to me. I freed myself and thereby freed him. Jesus says, what you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. What you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. My friend was loosed and he felt conviction from the judge, and he wrote me less than 24 hours later how sorry he was. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So, what can we do then? What can we do then when someone wrongs us? Sometimes people really do hurt us. We have tender hearts. We were meant for perfection. God made us in the Garden of Eden to be in perfect relationship with each other, perfect relationship with Him. There wasn't supposed to be such thing as a fight in a marriage. There wasn't supposed to be such thing as a repentance to God. We were made in perfect communion, wholeness. So we have these tender hearts that were never made for the ugliness of this life and the ugly things we do to each other. So what am I... Nick, fine, maybe I can forgive someone, but what do you want me to do when I'm living with the pain every day of what so-and-so did to me? What do you want me to do? Fine, I'll forgive them, but come on, really, give me a tool, like how to. What do you want me to do with that? Well, thank you, Jesus. He gave us something to do. Point number 3 on the back of your page. Recognize wrongs done against you and request that they be judged. Recognize wrongs done against you and request that they be judged. If you're having trouble remembering this, I wrote on my page, recognize and request. Recognize and request. If you're really bold, you can circle the word you. Recognize wrongs done against you, okay? Because here's what we do when we're not living in the light of liberty. John, Joe did what? He said what to you? Let's both get offended about Joe. I'm going to stand in judgment against him too. We're going to talk about Joe. What do you think Jesus said not to talk about Joe? Jesus says in Matthew 18, if you have a problem with Joe, Matthew 18 says, hey, John, you go to Joe. Not to Nick, not to Pastor, go to Joe. Only if Joe doesn't hear your heart, how he offended you, how you're hurt, only am I allowed to then go to my leaders and say, I've gone to Joe. Joe won't listen to me. I'm broken about this. Help me correct Joe. And only if Joe doesn't listen to them do you take Joe in front of the assembly, the gathering of the believers, and say, we wash our hands of you. You don't even do point number 1. Some of you do point number 2, and all of us do point number 3, and we say, Kevin, I'm not talking to you anymore. But what about the pain? So Jesus says in Matthew 7, the same section where Jesus says, there's something meant to be helpful about your Bible at home that is so not helpful, okay? People, 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later, write these little headings, like pretty headings, like, judge not. And then Matthew 7 begins. And then it stops and it says, do unto others. And the next section. And so we compartmentalize this. When Matthew was recording a speech that Jesus said in about 7 minutes, all in a row. And in the same speech where Jesus said, judge not or else you'll be judged. In that same speech, without any breaks in the page, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So bad guys exist. Jesus is like, now I'm telling you not to judge people, but guess what? Bad dudes and gals exist. So Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. What am I allowed to do? Can I judge them? No, I can recognize them. Am I supposed to take some, you know, my children to the park with a known child rapist? No, I don't need to do that. I'm allowed to recognize that that man's unsafe. I'm allowed to protect my children. I'm not going to judge him. That's to God. But I can recognize the fruit of his life. You're allowed to recognize people. You're allowed to do that. Okay? That's okay. But then, there's a step 2 here. You have to request that God be the judge. The very first use of the word judge in the Bible is Sarai. Sarai is heartbroken and sick over the fact that she was supposed to deliver her husband the promised child, and she can't do it. And she's old, and her body's given up. And she's like every woman who can't give birth, thinks it's her fault, lives under the heavy weight of condemnation.
And she does something foolish. She says, honey, take my maidservant, Hagar. Have a child with her. Maybe God can use that as the promise. And Ishmael is born. And now Hagar lords it over Sarai. Oh, I'm the chosen one. I gave Abraham a child. And Sarai's like, hold on. In my brokenness, I did something no woman should ever have to do. I shared my husband with this wench, and now you're going to lord it over me instead of being grateful that we take care of you and feed you every day? She comes to her husband and says, look at how this person treats me. And then Sarai, not yet named Sarah, says to Abram, not yet named Abraham, may the Lord judge between you and me. When your heart is full of pain and you need to do something or else you're going to break, you can say, may the Lord judge between you and me. I recognize this was wrong, the way I spoke to my son or the way I've spoken to me. And I request, God, that you be the judge. And then you let go. And you might need to do it tomorrow because you wake up feeling the same. Because you're a person, because you're a real person. And you might need to do it next week and 5 months from now until you really feel that God is on the case. Recognize and request. When we plead out a few chapters later, Abraham pleads with God for mercy over Sodom and Gomorrah and says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? In that instance, God's justice for Sodom and Gomorrah was not the mercy in that instance that Abraham was praying for. In that instance, God's not going to always do it the way you want. He knows everything. Everything. We see this much. He sees everything. He's going to make the call. He's going to make the call. Genesis 31:53a, Jacob is swearing to his father-in-law, Laban. And he says, the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between you and I. Judge between us. You can see, this is good. This is healthy. It's in the word of God. God be our judge. Okay? Remember I asked those of you that are brave to circle the word you under point number 3? Recognize wrongs done against you. Don't worry about all the other wrongs. That's the problem with the news. Social media and the news. I don't live in Arizona. I don't need to know about the convenience store that got robbed last night and some beautiful man got killed and shot. I don't need to take offense to that and worry about that man's family. I don't have any way to help. Oh, here's your argument. Oh, but I could pray for them. Shut up. If you read the news enough, you don't have time to pray for everybody. You don't know anything about my son's home country, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the horrors and the atrocities that happen there on a daily basis. You could weep and fast for the rest of your life and die from starvation over the Congo, let alone every nation in the world. You get to worry about what's happened to you and your circle. Something happens to my mother-in-law, she's in my life, she's in my circle, I can learn about it, I can pray for her. Yes, something happened in my brother's hometown. It affected me because it affected my brother because he shops at that grocery store and someone lost their life in a holdup. It was applicable to me. It's not applicable to any of you. You don't live in Silver Lake, California. You don't even know what Trader Joe's is. I do. My brother shops there 4 out of 5 days a week. He buys little tiny amounts of groceries. I don't know why. Just like 4 or 5 things. And then the next day he goes back because it's one block and he likes taking the walk. And someone went in there with a gun and someone's now dead. It affects me because it affected my brother and I pray for him and I encouraged him. But you guys don't need to read that story. You don't need to be all worried about Silver Lake. That's stressful. Anxiety is going up and up and up over the last 20 years. Depression's going up and up and up over the last 20 years. People are killing themselves over learning about everyone's crap. Oh my gosh, it's suffocating. Don't read all the news. Worry about what happens to you, okay? The Lord will give you an anointing for that. Recognize what's wrong. Request that it be judged. Forgive. If you're really brave, bless and move on and keep in the beautiful law of liberty. Stay a freeborn daughter and son of the living God. Walk under exemption from the law because by love, you will live it out. By love. If you need to refresh your mind on how good your righteous judge is, how much you can trust him, take this home and read these Psalms. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. He rules the world in righteousness. and judges the peoples with equity. Arise, Lord, do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Save Congo, Jesus. Have mercy. Mercy. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge me, O God. Then the people shall say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there's a God who judges the earth. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. It is I who judge with equity. It is God who judges. He brings one down and exalts another. When you, God, rose up to judge, you save all the afflicted in the land. I could continue. But those of you who are hungry for this merciful message and the trust in the living God who will always uphold your case, who cares about you, who made your heart, who cares about its offenses, read these. Wake up and wash yourself in them, knowing he's on the case, so that you can forgive and let go and be off of it. In conclusion, I'll tell you a very interesting story. Conclusion is the end of James 2, 12 and 13, which is mercy triumphs over judgment. That's how you beat it. Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. You didn't take the candlesticks, you goof. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus was once hanging out with a bunch of sinners. I'm talking like everyone's least favorite people. He was just having dinner with them. Tax collector, some promiscuous women, bunch of vagabonds. And the religious people are like, what are you doing having dinner at Matthew's house? I love reading this when penned by Matthew. Oh yeah, that's who I used to be. And the religious spirit hates that. Hates when you're merciful to yourself and others. Hates when you're this way with love and life-giving law of liberty. And Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. And then he says to these religious people, he quotes their favorite book, Hosea, and says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous but sinners. With due respect, Jesus never said, go to America and preach to the white middle class. Because you know what? A lot of us don't think we need them because we rank our sins. Remember, I'd circle back to that one. So I only did these lower level sins, God, and Joe did this to me. So I'm mad at Joe. And we think we can be judged because we cuss once in a while, we only drink sometimes, and we're usually, you know, nice to our wife, and we just have this justification in our head instead of him saying you're perfect or you're not. And so don't let a ranking of sins ruin your life. Because you're going to walk around feeling condemnation and judged and horrible all the time and not know why you're struggling with this. I only know this because I've recently experienced it. Ding! I was standing in judgment, hardcore, against someone I love who did something legitimately wrong against me. And it was like 1,000,000 pounds came off my life when I released them to the Lord. Someone came in today and said, I looked different. I said, thanks, I feel different. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'll tell you this. I was playing miniature golf with my son and my daughter. And they're just, something inside of them, they want so desperately, because we're keeping score, they want to win. That's okay, that's good. They want to win. And I'm trying to comfort them, like, well, you know what, I was probably 9 or 10 before I ever beat my father. Don't take it hard, you know. And I don't feel like cheating. I don't feel like, oops, you know, hitting the ball over here. I don't feel like that's honorable. But what I did was this. My son is so sweet, and he's goofy, and he's having fun, just, woo, let's play. He doesn't care. My daughter's, like, strategically trying to beat me, okay? So, if you know in golf, there's something called a mulligan. Mulligan is where you get a do-over. Now, legitimately, I don't know, if you have a group of gentlemen playing golf, maybe once out of 18 holes, you might say, can I take my mulligan? Well, I was giving my daughter a mulligan, and if any of you say a word to her, I will slap you. I was giving my daughter, I'll let God be the judge of me. I was giving my daughter mulligan, probably 1 out of 2 holes, where she'd make a major mistake, I'd let her do it over again. And you know what? In that grace, she started getting better. Because her little tensed up muscles.
I kept telling her, relax, don't worry about the score, I love you. Oh, take a mulligan. And she started being freed up, and you know what? She started playing better. This is how grace works in your life. She got 3 strokes ahead of me. I'm a good golfer, okay? I'm playing for real. Hole number 17, I try an experiment on hole number 17. I thought, let's even cut this lead a little bit and make it exciting. And I get in her ear and I say, Evangeline, I've given you a lot of mulligans, so in this one, anything you hit counts. Whoa, I took her back over here, right? I'm not kidding around. I just thought, let's see what happens. Instead of shooting a 2, she makes mistakes. There's no grace for her. The mistakes count. She gets a 4. I get up there. I hit a hole in 1. And all of a sudden, her lead is erased. This is your enemy, the religious spirit. You get ahead in life because you start living in grace and you start judging yourself as righteous. You're not righteous. Your father has been giving you mulligans every darn hole. You ain't righteous at all. And you know what the good father does at the end of the game? Hole number 18, I went back to this way of grace and let my daughter play not under the weight of perfectionism, but under this law of liberty. Gave her a mulligan or 2, told her how great she was doing. She beat me by 2 strokes. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me, if you will. Pray a benediction over you. Father, we need your grace. We need your mercy. We have judged. We have stood in your seat that only you are righteous to fill, and we are wrong. And before we even tell you about what this other person did to us, we need you to forgive us because we are wrong. And we're sinners, and we're so grateful for your grace, and we repent for even judging ourselves as righteous. If you've been going through any of this, if you've been struggling with a critical voice in your head, if you've been struggling being critical of others, it's time to break out of jail. These people are trained at helping you in the law of liberty, in freedom, and in love. And you can come up here and weep your guts out, and you can forgive so-and-so. You can get off the throne of judgment and say, God, I request that you judge between me and so-and-so. And you are going to leave here feeling great. Lord Jesus, bless us as we go to live this out. Free us by your love. We invite you forward now. Come. This is a holy place for those who are wanting to get out of this noose.